You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Shalom and aloha, everybody, and welcome to the Man Dog Pod. Patron only Monday episode, the big check-in with me, Dan Lippert, and to my left, Ryan Rosenberg.
And to my left, Dan Lippert.
What's up, Daddy-O?
Not too much. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How am I? Yeah, I'm good. I'm good too. Been feeling so stuffed this past week, like a turkey. Mm-hmm. I think it is November 30th is that diet starts tomorrow thing. I'm going to get up and I'm going to get a little more of a regimen going because I've just been feeling like a little sluggish. We shared a big pizza yesterday.
Who did?
Nobody.
I don't even eat that stuff anymore.
Yeah, you don't eat pizza. Uh-huh. But I just...
I'm off pizza and fries. Actually, they're the only two things I eat.
Yeah, on opposites day.
Yeah.
But like, I just felt like crap the rest of the day yesterday and like didn't eat that much. Like an absurd amount.
I've eaten more of that same pizza before, but for some reason this one knocked me out.
You felt the same way?
I did. I had two glasses of wine later in the evening and I passed right out on the couch.
Oh, Veritas.
Yeah. In Veritas Vino. Or in Vino Veritas. In life there is wine.
In wine there is life.
That's right. So, you know, we're feeling good from pizza. We had a nice little record. Outside of Man Dog, which cat's out of the bag.
Well, the cat is in the hat. Uh-huh. The hat is out of the bag, and the cat is in the bag.
That's good.
And anyone who listened to that sentence, go ahead and come kill me, because it was pointless to say.
Go ahead and delete everything you know about us right now.
But yes, the cat is out of the bag, Ryan. The Big Grande website is live.
That's right, Dan. Brand new website, brand new life for Big Grande. And what's on that website?
It is our two new podcasts, Last Resort, that's right, which is a Teacher's Lounge-style, hour-long podcast with recurring characters, and Exit 42, which is all mini-episodes at the same highway exit, different locations at that exit. Isn't that right, Ryan?
That is right, Dan. And now, obviously, they're both a lot of fun. I enjoy doing both of them. But do you have a favorite? Are you leaning one way or the other on which one's more fun?
I am really enjoying the Last Resort episodes.
That's really good.
I think mostly because especially we've been recording them in our backyard. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's been like really refreshing to be making comedy in person with my best friends.
Right. And then we got to have a little pizza hang afterwards.
Yeah.
I was really struck by how nice that was to just like extend a hang, because first of all, you're not really allowed to have hangs.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, we're doing a backyard distance thing for work. And then it was like, hey, want to hang and stay and have pizza? And it was so refreshing to do something spontaneous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly right. We haven't done a spontaneous thing the whole year.
And I kind of, I'm an improviser through and through, and I literally hate making plans and like planning my life, so spontaneity is a big part of my life, and I didn't realize how much I had missed it. Like, even like reaching out to friends during COVID to be like, let's make time, let's like plan in the backyard, just really isn't like how I'm comfortable. And it was it really surprised me how nice it was to have that, like, should we do a little more? And it was like, yeah, we can. Yeah. Like, it felt like free again, you know.
It's a real brain drain to like have plans coming up. Mm-hmm. And it just feels very nice. And I think like a thing I like to work on and I'm working on that just came up while you were talking is like my first instinct is like, I wonder why that is that we like improvised plans. And then I was like, who cares? It's good to know that I prefer it that way and to live my life knowing that.
Yeah. I don't have to analyze myself as if everything I do is wrong for some reason.
Right.
It just is the way I'm wired and that's okay. If it becomes a problem, sure, take a look, you know? You don't have to assume the issue.
Yeah, so it did feel great to just chat. We had a nice couple hours in the backyard. Mm-hmm. masks
talked
off,
about death
mouth
for an
to
hour.
Mouth. Yeah, we talked about death. We talked about we talked politics. We talked.
We talked pizza.
Pizza.
And your dog ate a big cup of ranch dressing off the grass.
This fucking, and I mean this bitch, has.
Folks, it's the one time you're allowed to say it.
It's okay. It's like cussing at Siri. It doesn't hurt anybody, and it's what the word really means. Take out all your aggression at humans on this being. But she, I think during this quarantine time, she's become a bit Borat King in the Castle. Mm-hmm. And just like I'm not ruling with much of an iron fist, so she's like kind of starting to disrespect me.
Well, there's no routine or rules.
Yeah.
You definitely, you know, it's like parenting a kid with no boundaries, which I think is what's happening to parents too. It's like when there's no school time and have to whatever, everything just gets harder.
Yeah. It's like, all right, we gotta set boundaries in the schedule. But here she like sleeps on top of me, takes up the whole bed, like, you know, was waking me up at 4 a.m. and I was just dealing with it. And it was like, all right, I think part of that extends into like, in just right in front of me, she will eat my ranch, which was not a thing she used to do.
She knocked it off your plate or did you let it tip off the
she
plate?
She knocked it. I don't remember, actually.
She's still the sweetest and we love her.
I'm in love with the girl.
I'm in love. Well, I am kind of flying high. I'm flying high over this new Big Grande thing.
Yeah.
If you like this podcast, you probably heard Big Grande before. And go check out this new stuff. It's really fun. I feel like it's got the same energy as Teacher's Lounge used to have, but, you know, is a little bit different, actually, content-wise.
Now, you prefer Exit 42.
I do.
You like them both, but you've been really enjoying those.
Yeah, there's something about the that every one of them is new and just done when it's done that I really like that we get to just like turn it on, go hard and turn it off. There's something about that that feels very pure to me.
It's the closest thing to if you had come and seen Big Grande do an improv show, like an indie improv show at some little theater around LA. It's like 20 minutes to or 15 to 30. And one location, that's kind of what we used to do live.
And it is kind of like, not to get too behind the scenes or whatever, it kind of feels the same. We talk about it before and go like, what could be a fun thing? Like, oh, what about these truckers or whatever? And then we just take that suggestion and do some time. So it feels very creative in that way.
Yeah, the location is basically the suggestion and then we go from there.
Mm-hmm. It feels like painting. It's a blank canvas, and then we just put our crap all over it.
Yes. We're making Pollux for y'all out there.
That's right.
Ultimately, the whole thing is, I mean, just like what Patreon was, this is like an exciting thing for us. It's a new thing. We are continually learning the ways to cut out the corporate overlords out there, cut out the middle men and women who seem to make everything a little harder. And
Who knew you could just work for yourself?
Yeah, it's more work up front for us. We probably spend more money. We're spending the overhead that a company would be spending. Mm-hmm. But we get the direct information. We get to see when people are subscribing.
Right.
What sort of stuff gets us more subscribers. Like which podcast we do appearances on and like what numbers we're at. And just like it's all control, which is great.
And it feels, to me, much similar audience-wise to our live shows, which is what I really like and miss, is like you really get to interface with the audience, whether it's that they're buying it or liking it or whatever, rather than like giving it to a company who gives it to whoever their audience is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I know who's like watching and listening and feel more tapped in rather than just like, I'm going to work, which is how I used to feel a little bit.
Yeah, and it's just like you and us out there.
Yeah,
It's like this is all, it feels like more communal in that way, like you're saying.
Right. So thanks for everyone who supports Man Dog Pod, of course, listening to this. And thanks for presumably all the Big Grande support.
Yeah.
We really are lucky to have people like resonate with what we do and get to keep doing it as a job.
A thing that truly doesn't matter, but I wish I had communicated better, is in my mind, because we released the Big Grande episode of Man Dog Pod yesterday and dropped the information about the podcast. In my mind, everyone, all of our listeners were going to have like a quick day, a secret day to listen to it. Uh-huh. But someone posted it right away on the Earwolf Reddit and it so it blew up quote unquote blew up, and like everyone found out about it right away. I wish we had said in that one, like, hey, don't tell anyone. Let's like keep this between us for a day.
Right. Well, we still got a couple things brewing that we could use for man-dog secrecy.
That's right.
But, shh. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And y'all got to be better with the secrets. I'm laying this at your feet, listeners.
Yes. It's not our planning and the lack of our communication. It's the fact that you guys didn't know what we wanted without us communicating it.
Every one of these episodes is a secret unless we tell you it's not.
That's right.
Let's start at that.
Please don't tell anyone about our podcast. Please do not grow it. Please do not share it. Please, you know what? Stop contributing money.
Wait a fucking day, you idiots.
No, Dan, don't treat our audience like that. We love everybody who is supporting us. Truly, it's like, it's so cool and so crazy.
Yeah, it's great. I'm very excited to have both of these little things going now. And it's nice to like put in that front end work and then just like turn the key, let the doors open and go. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's nice being in Hollywood. We've talked about this several times, but like, I love not having to audition. Mm-hmm. I love to get to make my own work.
Yeah.
Like, why should I have to ask somebody if I can even be creative?
Yeah.
Or like, if they're okay with the kind of creativity I want to do. I just want to make my thing and put it out there. And if people like it, then that's wonderful. And the energy comes back, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I love about this project is like, this is just us making our thing and hopefully enough people like it that we don't feel silly.
Right.
But that's part of the risk is that like, oh, less people care about this now or whatever. But I don't think it feels that way for me.
Yeah, no, it's...
feels positive.
I'm like constantly thinking about just the real, like, because I see it happen to other people in the world and other podcasts, this feeling of like the people who like you a lot. So you can think that that's what the whole world thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like trying to remember that it's like a specific group of people that really like us, but also that that's really cool and
totally
it's awesome to have. And I think like mainly just trying not to get my head up my own ass sometimes with that stuff.
Right.
Just like everyone loves this thing.
Right. Well, who cares? I mean, for me, that's the cool part is that like we love it.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully other people do, but we literally didn't ask anyone about it. And so it's like, it is just what we like, and that's what I enjoy.
I think what I'm the way I'm experiencing it right now is with the Entourage podcast. I was talking to some other people that are listening to it, and they started kind of being like questioning their place in history, and like maybe being like, was there some stuff that was a little like of its time, and maybe a little offensive? And I've noticed as the podcast has gotten more popular, they've totally dropped that. And they're like, nah, it's fine. Like what we said was fine. People love it. We're getting a huge response here. And so I'm kind of like, just remember that
yes.
There is a wider perspective than just the people who like you out there.
Right. And that just because a lot of people approve doesn't mean it's good or bad. It's like,
that's true. Yeah.
You should have your own internal choices.
That's a better way to say it. Yeah.
Hey, if enough people are following me, I can keep doing whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Donald Trump, right? Becoming what he fucking was.
What about the little table?
mean, this guy is the funniest thing to me is that his whole thing is being like a media and TV guy. And he keeps
fucking up,
stepping on his own dick
stuff. Yeah. Like, well,
what are you doing?
To me, it's almost this test of like, I've been in relationships before where you kind of start to. Part of the exciting thing about the love is like starting to like show more of yourself and push the person and be like, do you still like this?
Right.
And it feels like that for him, where it's like, how fucking disgusting and shameful can I be and you still like me?
Right. I also wanted to say, where was that picture? That was a tiny desk on like the most disgusting green carpet I'd ever seen.
It was literally the equivalent of like 10 years ago if we were like, we got a location, we're gonna shoot our sketch, it's gonna look great. We got the desk, we got a room.
It's almost exactly like that. And someone's like, yeah, I got the suits for you. I got the suits, I got everything. I'll do makeup. It's like, who made me look orange and made my ass look like this?
You said this person went to makeup school? I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they said. Did they say that to us? Someone said that to us, right? Yeah.
it is that, yeah, he, the self owns, I mean, and it's tough because you don't want to be in the echo chamber of like liberals who just make fun of him while he continues to ruin the world and the people that love right. him still love him. But I do feel like one of the shames of this administration is because it's so vile, you don't really get to sit with how fucking funny it is that they're right. such idiots and losers right. and what self-obsession makes you do.
Well, and it's funny now because things are really starting to unravel. So, like, all these horrible things that are sort of accidents are happening way faster and way closer to each other because there's too many holes to plug on the boat.
It's the pressure cooker. Mean? Like, yeah, yeah, too many holes is good. Like, it's like,
there's too many holes, and it's like, okay, we missed the Four Seasons one.
Yeah.
But that's our biff for the week. That's our biff. It's like, okay, what are we going to get Trump here? We don't have a desk.
We don't have a desk.
We don't have a desk. Grab the one out of the kids' office. Grab one out of the kids' corner or whatever. It's like,
just, oh, shit. I switched Giuliani's shampoo with black tar. Okay, well, we can't deal with that right now.
Is anybody else exhausted? Just exhausted. I feel like I'm working 30 hours a day here. But on what?
All right, everybody, we got to talk just a little personal responsibility. Just a few things. You got to look presentable on camera. Your clothes have to fit you.
Right. Okay, the new rule is we're bringing showers to all the events, and we're taking a quick shower, and we're redressing them right before. We cannot trust that they look good or like they did 30 minutes ago. And that was a little scene lit.
That was a little scene lit for you. Like, we're not going to do scenes today. We're just going to chat. Mm-hmm. But you might get scene lits, like little piglets.
That's right. That's right. So, I don't know. The big thing for me is go check out that new website. Tell your friends. Tell your buddies. You can either buy a subscription to the new podcast or you can buy it and gift it to somebody else. I know you're probably sitting in the remnants of being thankful for your friends and family who surely love the podcast. Send it as a gift. Or maybe Hanukkah or Christmas is coming up for you. That's or one of the other holidays that are at the end of the year.
That's right.
Go ahead and do it. Gift it.
Gift this podcast for the low price of $30. Two podcasts,
yes.
A bundle. You get the whole thing. Don't be stupid.
Two podcasts for 10 weeks, and then the second one keeps going for another 10. So that's like 20 weeks of entertainment.
Yeah. I paid, sadly, $5 for this cup of coffee this morning. That's
sadly.
Five episodes.
Very sad. And you could have just poured water over beans at your house.
That's right. That's right.
But hey, people can also do comedy in the mirror to themselves, but it just isn't the same.
You want the audience.
You want the audience and you want the good roast.
We're kind of becoming the Paul Thomas Andersons, the Adam Sandlers. You know, we've got this little community of people we keep working with. Casey Trela again did the themes. Annie Wu, who has done our logo, did one of the logos for that, which is probably like my favorite logo.
Which one, Last Resort?
The Last Resort one.
It's really
cool. I love the vibe of it.
Yeah, me too.
I was thinking today.
It's fun getting to work with other cool creative people and sort of like grow the little footprint of the thing you do.
Yeah.
What were you thinking? Sorry.
Oh, Casey's my favorite Casey songs. Mm-hmm. I was trying to list them, but and I couldn't really because they all have different meanings to me. But I like, for some reason, I'm really obsessed with the Exit 42 one. I think it's like very sweet and like.
It's cool.
Has a good, like, emotional vibe to it.
Right. Oh, we should somewhere put up that old song he made for us when we made a short film with your dog.
The Pits. Yeah, I think we talked about that a while ago and like either couldn't find it or yeah, I have it somewhere.
Yeah, I know that song is around somewhere, or somewhere.
I still think we should put The Pits up.
Yeah, we could.
That was where Stella...
We did a show, yeah.
The first thing we made together, really, right?
Yeah, probably, huh?
Well, for Channel 101, which I'm sure like people who are into the podcast world are familiar with Channel 101, but it was this monthly, like, basically like film festival, but it was like short films. It was irreverent. It was like started by,
it's
I
like
think
5-minute pilots, basically.
Yeah.
If people liked your pilot, it would get picked up to series, and then next month you'd make the second episode.
Yeah.
And if it got picked up again, next month you'd make the third episode, et cetera.
That's right.
And Dan Harmon and Rob
Schraub. Yeah.
used to run it before they were, you know, mega conglomerate leaders.
So, it was this, like, very insular community, like, very weird, like, self-referential stuff. Mm-hmm. And so, like, our submission to it was this the Pits, which was like our
didn't get picked up.
It did not, but it was like a True Detective, but with Stella and Harry Chaskin, who did our first logo, did the voice of the main character.
And you and Stella were like partners, and she was like the hard-boiled cop, even though she was just a dog.
Yeah.
Tough to shoot with animals. We did learn that lesson, but I thought it was still cool.
It was fun, yeah. I'm proud of that.
Yeah, me too.
And the last thing we ever shot was 25 years ago, it feels like.
That's right. But hey, now that it's COVID, there'll be more soon. At least we can look forward to that.
But yeah, that's those are the things, right? That's where we're at.
Yeah. I feel like we've been quietly or silently building towards that personally, and it's nice to be able to actually talk about it. Teacher's Lounge ended, whatever that was, 6 months ago or 8 months, whenever, how long it's been. Before quarantine, I guess.
We did it in quarantine still.
Did we?
Yeah, because we did those throwback episodes, remember? We did like those six Cancun episodes, and then we closed it out with the funeral and those last couple.
And those were in quarantine?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't know that. Well, however long it's been, it's nice to be back and doing something as a full group again.
Yeah. It's really nice. It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Beyond that, we're moving into the December months.
December doggy, that's right.
I've watched a lot of movies this week. I know we both watched Happiest Season. Mm-hmm. Past guest, has Mary done this podcast? Yeah.
Yeah.
Past guest of this podcast, times. Mary Holland has done.
Co-star.
And it was awesome. I loved it. It's really like a very beautiful thing to see like people you've known for so long now getting to make their things out in the world and show them to everybody.
Yeah. Mary was in our first sketch show.
Yes.
That was like first group project, really.
She was essentially like an unofficial Big Grande member. Like she was like in the cast of Big Grande shows, but just,
Right, right.
Husband Matt came with us to our first sketch fest.
That's right. And he's in the movie as well, briefly, as the security or police or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. And she's so great in it. She's just like so charismatic and awesome. Like really funny and like, she's got that star quality. I'm so excited that we're going to get to watch Mary for, like, presumably the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Like, she's so good.
Yeah. And, like, it's really great to see. I feel it with, like, Betsy Sodaro, too. Mm-hmm. But, like, people who are, like, you know, to be very specific and very, like, we've gotten to see them, like, grow into their voice and their sensibility and, like, trust it and strengthen it and be, like, unlike anybody else you really ever see.
Right.
It's cool to see the world get to discover them.
And to see, like, the rest of the world catch up to, yeah, exactly what you said, the rest of the world discover them. But, like, catch up to what we already knew. It's fun to see people, like, finally figure out how to use these people that are like, why are they not the most famous person already?
Right.
You know? And it's like, oh, okay, cool. People are starting to get it. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Cool. I loved that's on Hulu. I would say that's a big recommendation. Mm-hmm. It's like a nice, watch with your family kind of movie. Dan Levy's great in it. Mary Steenburgen's so funny in it. Mm-hmm. Really like that.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
And then I watched this wildly depressing movie last night called Lost Transmissions. Have you heard of this? Mm-hmm. Have you seen this? You hear about this?
No.
It's Simon Pegg.
Jay Leno.
Music producer having a psychotic break and like a woman that he kind of like develops like a music relationship with, like who also has depression issues, kind of like trying to help him, you know, basically like take care of himself and like.
Right.
It's basically like largely about the process of like dealing with people who have a mental illness in like the bureaucracy of the way that our systems work and how like cast aside they are and how hard it is for like friends and stuff to like, you know, be there for someone and not take it personally. And it was like an interesting indie movie watch, but also when I started it, not the mood I was in.
Right.
That's on Stars. Interesting. What about you?
And you liked it?
I like anything that is like compelling for the full time watching it, and people are like making choices and putting themselves out there. Like, at the end of the day,
it sounds thought-provoking.
Yeah, it's, like, nice to watch a movie like that over, like, whatever, you know, not to be some snobby asshole, but, like, whatever big-budget movies. Theater movies start to feel pretty repetitive. So I like people that, like, are just making a choice. It's nice to see.
Yeah, after you've studied or seen as much as we have, or, you know, the general public, not like we've seen everything, but, like, it does start to go like, okay, well, I don't really just want to watch another one.
Yeah.
I want to watch, like, a new one or something that does what I'm used to but in a new way. I watched Black is King, finally, that Beyonce thing. Cool. Have you seen that?
What's it? Is it on, like, Disney Plus?
I think it's Disney Plus. It's, like, Disney and Beyonce, and there's some, like, Lion King stuff in there, and I think a bunch of, like, Disney property voiceover-y type stuff. I couldn't even tell you all about it. But it is gorgeous and so cool. And Beyonce, of course, is incredible.
I got to watch it. I just got the Disney Plus. So.
Oh, there you go. Big upgrade.
Big upgrade. I wanted to watch Who Framed Roger Rabbit, so I got it. But so
that's funny. A 30-year-old movie.
And one of my favorites, though. And I was in the mood on Thanksgiving. Great. I was in, like, a wistful, nostalgic mood. But yeah, so it's like Lemonade, but her new kind of...
I would say that's it's a fair comparison. It's, yeah. Because it's like music videos stitched together with, like, other, you know, beautiful imagery and narrative and stuff.
What a fascinating thing to be like... Because she had come up in conversation recently, but to get to that point where you are creating the conversation and the culture and, like, you are solely the one... And you seem, like, so thoughtful and smart and, like, creative and talented. But also, I don't get any of her personality. Like, I don't know what she is like. And you kind of have to become this, like, monolith.
Yes.
And I'm curious what that is like. She's
become, like, a symbol, not, like, a human person.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Part of her thing is it's, like, very open and vulnerable, and, like, she talked about being cheated on and stuff. But then the other part of it is it all seems so manicured, which is fine, and, like, part of the stuff she makes is great. I'm mostly just curious about that feeling.
Right. It's like both are true, but you only get sort of one side of the image or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's interesting. Who else is like that big of a star? I was thinking about Michael Jackson.
Will Smith and that Smith. And that Fresh Prince thing, where it's like he's doing all this stuff that feels real. He's like laughing and crying and like really like listening and engaging. But it looks like it's all planned or a little manicured or a little like he knows all the time how he's being perceived because for 30 years he's been building an image for himself.
Right. But the weird thing is that's also his truth. Like, he's not pretending to be Will Smith. Like, that's what we all think of him. He is like a world – he's a symbol too.
Like, well, the only way you get to be that is to – like that interplay where you can't show people your whole self because they then know you. And nobody who is fully known can be that famous because people are flawed.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder how we're going to deal with that.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I will drop my personality in a second. I'll be a fucking robot if everybody in the world knew my name.
Totally. I love Will Smith, man. He is the best. I did watch that Fresh Prince thing. Do we ever talk about this on here?
We briefly talked about it with Gil and John, but I don't think we're like, yeah, same. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about it for you?
I guess just realizing like how big a part of my childhood it was. Like I've seen every episode maybe 10 times. Like it was the first show that I knew all of, but I didn't think about shows like that back then. It wasn't like I'm obsessed with the show and I'm going to, it's just like, it's what I took in. It's what felt naturally funny. And I think I also realized like being a comedian or whatever version of that we are, how big a comedic influence that was for me. And it was like one of the first, it hit me right at the age where I was like young, but becoming a teenager and like developing my personality, you know? And he was also a young teenager who was funny and whatever. And I was like, it just really struck a chord with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then all the like family dynamic stuff also, like just that Uncle Phil was like such a great dad and took care of that family and he like put up with Will and was also kind to the other. It was just like a big, cool thing. And then also that that actor, is it James Avery?
Yeah.
Passed away and they all revered him so much. And when they were talking about like how responsible he, the responsibility he took on both on set and in like the show to like, make sure those kids on the show were growing up well and also that the voices were being represented the right way on the show. And it was like, that guy was just an actor. He didn't have to do all that shit, but like what a great man he was to do all that stuff. And I just felt like much closer to all of them than I realized that I would. I was like, oh, this feels like my family. Even though clearly they're not.
Yeah.
So it was good.
Yeah, I had that pretty much that exact same experience. I thought it was like almost to me like I'm happy they made it, even though the whole thing was like a weird big pat on the back. But it was like nice to be reminded of all that stuff. It weirdly conversationally like, and it might be like a, related to like some like race, but it like kind of dropped out of the conversation in a way to me where it's like people sing the song all the time and like reference it, but right. I don't think like the show is like as revered or quoted as how meaningful it was to like our whole generation.
Totally Yeah.
And yeah, I thought that James Avery stuff was like so sweet.
Yeah, that was the part that learning really made all me that cry about was, him. Yeah,
like seeing him just in his dressing room, like listening to jazz, like it was so sweet to hear all that stuff.
And that like when they were all saying that like as young black artists, he was exposing us to amazing black art that we didn't know about or have access to, or you know whatever it was. And I was like, yeah, just how fucking cool that is.
I also thought that because they addressed the woman who played Aunt Viv that got fired, and like they had her come on and like talk to Will Smith about that. But part of the conversation around her and like the family was how hard it was like to cast and be like a dark skinned actress, like as dark as her, and like how powerful her character was and how like like grace and strength the character had in the show that I didn't really like actively think about, but it was nice to be like reminded of that and think about it.
Right. Yeah, your 11-year-old brain just isn't really taking in that type of that lens on the thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah.
And it really makes you think of like how much I took in my whole life that was kind of giving me the opposite message. And how refreshing it is to get it, to like not be giving that message in a way that feels like heavy-handed or like it's like using people or like cynical, but actually just doing it.
I really like that they had that part where she came back and her and Will had that talk and like sort of had it out about what all had happened and got on the same page. It was like really, because they didn't have to do that, obviously, and it was a really beautiful, like, full telling of the story where Will had to be like, fuck, I'm really sorry. Like, I ruined a huge part of your life. And to me, that was a big thing of like, excuse me. Yeah, even if you're whatever, right or stressed or whatever, you just have to be careful with how you deal with people because your actions and the waves that it makes affects people's lives in big ways.
Yeah.
You know, it. I mean, that cost her surely $100 million or like a life-changing amount of like money, status, whatever. And him being like, I was a kid who was nervous and didn't want my show to be screwed, or, you know, whatever. And it's like, I can understand both of those fears and whatever, but man.
Yeah, it's
your actions have consequences. And even if you don't want to see them, they're there, you know?
And it made me again, like, I'm just every day becoming more and more aware of just like the brokenness of the system that like allows that. Like, yeah, you do learn from your actions and you do learn your actions affect others. And also as like a 19, 20, 21 year old, you shouldn't have the power to ruin this woman's life in Hollywood. Like the set and the way the world works and like the people in power that are older and smarter should not allow that type of atmosphere to exist.
Totally.
But like the system just doesn't work that way. It's like,
right,
you're the star of the show, whatever you want goes. It doesn't matter if you're 13 or 22 or whatever.
Right. And knowing that you're part of the system is like, okay, I have to take care of my part, you know, because the system is not going to help or you know, whatever.
But yeah, highly it's recommend that. It was fun to watch. Almost every single scene I remembered by heart once it came up. It was like, oh shit, I think I watched every episode like 20 times and just forgot about it.
Absolutely. Funniest show maybe ever.
Yeah.
Like at the time, just so hilarious.
Yeah.
And then what else? What else did you watch? Anything else? You watch more?
I watched the new Animaniacs, which I really like.
I have not.
You can't really see it, but this thing at an angle over here is an Animaniacs cell that Harry Chaskin, the logo man, and Justin Michael, former guest of the podcast, got me for my birthday. It's like a cell from the cartoon. I've always been a huge fan of it. And I'm always hesitant to watch reboots of stuff that was meaningful to me. But
I heard the new one's great.
I loved it, man. It was like the same exact voice of the show, like the same like style. It just, again, that nostalgia. We're clearly in like such a nostalgic place right now.
Right.
Living in the past.
But it's new jokes and sketches and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. The whole kind of first episode is about just making fun of like reboots and like networks rehashing old ideas and stuff. But also in the irreverent way that they do it.
Those Animaniacs, you can't pin them down. They got baloney in their sacks.
And they're zany, I would almost say, to the max.
To the max.
So, yeah, just kind of been peeping around the old television.
Yeah, good. Feels like end of the year, things are like, you know, once it's holiday season, it's like you're sort of pretending to be awake and doing stuff between Thanksgiving and Christmas or whatever, but you know it's just like the slowdown until you have to like pay attention after January 1st.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like once we come back from New Year's, everybody's like, okay, you had a break.
Yeah, let's
but
go.
Until then, it's sort of like, I'm answering emails.
Sure. But it's the time when I most miss the TV Guide channel. I really associate like Thanksgiving, like Christmas break with like sitting on the couch, turning on the TV and just like flopping through and seeing what's on in the moment.
That's something I really like about having YouTube TV, which we share, you know, is the ability to just turn on the TV and like flip. Like sometimes with streaming, I'm like, well, I'm not really sitting down to watch an appointment TV thing. Mm-hmm. I want to just be doing the activity of watching TV, you know, which I miss so much when there's not one thing you're scrolling through.
I think there is, other than maybe it's hard to do, there is no reason that Netflix shouldn't do like 10 channels when you turn on Netflix that are just, and it would obviously all be their original content.
Right.
But like the Kids Network, the New Movies Network, whatever, and you just turn
it on.
And
you can have those on while you're scrolling.
Yeah.
While you're scrolling for other stuff, you have like bottom left corner picture in picture of like The Office going, you know, or whatever.
Just bring us right back to the TV Guide Network, baby.
Yeah.
Get Mario Lopez on there.
Exactly. There's got to be a market for that. Are you kidding me?
I think if they're not working on this, I think this is $1 million idea, right?
We should pitch it to them.
Hey, we've got a pitch for you. No, it's not the TV show you asked for. It is a thing you can do we get no money for.
It's TV. It's changing your whole model to being TV.
You remember that? You know how you became really successful during the
office? You grew up on it, and that's why you do your job? Well, Dan, this was a wonderful little check-in. I think the only thing that's new on my mind is to go check out the old Big Grande website.
That's
the new
right.
old Big Grande website, which is conveniently BigGrandeWebsite.com.
BigGrandeWebsite.com. I checked on Google. If you Google Big Grande website, it will not come up yet. So don't Google it. Just write in BigGrandeWebsite.com.
Yeah.
And
follow the link. Go to our Twitter. Tell your friends. Tweet about it. Read about it. Eat about it.
Especially eat about it. And then all our episodes last week were really fun. So if you haven't heard them yet, we've got the new Big Grande episode. We've got the John Gemberling and Gil Ozeri episode. We've got the Happy Hour episode.
Those are three high quality episodes. They should probably all be Boss Hog.
They should, yeah.
We're feeling content for the people, you know?
Yeah. Get out some mashed potatoes because those are bangers.
That's right. Have some bangers and mash.
And there was one more thing. Just that John and Gil one. I like those are two people who I've like looked up to for a long time. They make me laugh.
Oh man.
And they are like just really sweet people.
Yeah.
And the thing happens when you look up to people, at least in our world, probably everywhere, where you assume them to be intimidating and like in their own world.
Uh-huh.
And it's very nice when they're not.
Right.
And
and then you realize like, oh, they're just healthily in their own world. They're going to work and living their lives. But then when you do show up with them, they're like, oh yeah, what's up? I'm totally approachable.
It's like the reverse of kind of like narcissism or self-centeredness to think that people are going to hate you or not be impressed by you or have this like strong negative opinion about you. It's like they probably just won't care until they get to know you, and then they'll probably be fine with you.
I also think it may not be the reverse. I think it may just be like
it's the two sides of the same coin.
It about you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, I loved that, obviously. Yeah, all of the above.
They were so gracious and generous and, of course, funny. But yeah, I remember seeing them at DCM in like 2013 or something.
The Del Close Marathon.
Yes, the Del Close Marathon in New York City. For the Upright Citizens Brigade. New York City! but they did that Davin and Danielle thing where they're both like computer consciousness and they end up just saying names over and over for half an hour.
They come out in gold unitards.
Yeah.
And they say they're like, I forget basically what you said, computer consciousness. And then they go up to everyone in the audience and they're always speaking in unison. And they just say like, what is your name? And no matter what name the person says, they say, Danielle. And then they just kind of like.
And isn't their names Davin and Danielle or something like that?
Yeah.
So it's their own name? It's really confusing and one of the funniest, most psychosis-inducing, laugh-inducing shows I ever saw.
It's like fully committed. They're just like fully synced in and locked in with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like 15 minutes of just watching them like fully trust each other and go crazy.
Yes. And I've still been laughing all week about Gil naming his grandma character Rotis. Rotis. A name I've never heard before.
And of course, we should shout out Victoria and Talia, who
are lovely friends.
Every time we do something with them, it's a nice refresher. We get a lot of good feedback about those episodes. So check those out. Ryan, love you, buddy.
Love you too, Dan. Good to talk to you. Good to see you yesterday. And I'm glad we shared that pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Have some pizza out there, folks, and have a wonderful week.
Shaloha.
Shaloha.